right, church. Job chapter 2. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Now remember, Job's already had, he's lost everything. And God's using him in this second scene here. And Satan, and then Satan didn't say it was enough. By the way, it's never enough for Satan. And talking about somebody that wants to attack and deceive and is a wolf. And here it is. And he says this, Satan answered the Lord and said, this is just evil sounding, isn't it? Even in the Word of God. Look what it says. Skin for skin. Yea. All that a man hath will he give for his life. Let me get at his skin. You just took the stuff on the outside. Let me get to where he's really at, where he exists. Well, that's the devil tonight. But put forth thy hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he'll curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. In other words, I'm going to allow this. Come back to the sovereignty of God. I'm going to allow you to do this, but you can't take his life. So, verse 7, went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Now, we would say that today in modern English, from the top of his head to the tip of his toe. Right? Now, if you've ever had a sickness, if you've ever had a pain, I've been having a pain in my shoulder here for the last few weeks. It's about to drive me bananas. But it's not from the tip of my head to the tip of my toe yet. If you've ever had a sickness where you're hurting from top to bottom, that's nothing quite like that mentally, not only physically. And the Bible says in verse 8, look at this just horrible scene. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. He was in so much agony, the only way he was scraping that. It's a picture that we see. In fact, verse 9, and we got to be a little careful. I've heard people be awful hard on his wife. But if you've ever watched somebody go through pain or suffering, that can be very hard. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. In other words, go ahead. Let the Lord just take you. Just put yourself in the hands of a merciful God. Now, some people kind of attack Job's wife there. I've always kind of had a soft spot because it's hard to see what your loved ones go through things. Verse 10, but he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. He reprimands her, doesn't he? What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God and shall not receive evil? And then I want you to notice verse 10, and we're just going to focus on that. There's a lot we can look at, but it says this, and I'm going to just give you a short message tonight. In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Did not sin with his lips. That's the message. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray you be with us now. In these next moments, we thank you and praise you. We ask you to bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, here we see this picture. This is dramatic. It is serious. Job's going through all this trouble and trial. He's already had troubles and trials. And then it is physical. It'd be one thing to come home and say, honey, we lost everything today. Our bank account's gone. We're losing our home. We're losing all the stuff we own. And oh, by the way, I'm sick from head to toe. I mean, that's the picture. In fact, that's not even really doing it justice. You can read it. And at the end of this, though, what I want you to notice is the Bible says, in all this, did not Job sin with his lips. And one of the things that just, I don't know, caught my attention is, how much he's going through, and yet he doesn't sin with his lips. Now, if I went around this room tonight, and around most rooms everywhere tonight, and asked you, have you ever sinned with your lips? Almost all of us, I would say all of us, would have to hang our head at some point and say, I've sinned with my lips for a whole lot less. In fact, you might be like me and say, man, I wish I have never said that. You may go back in your life and see things that you maybe wrote or said or did. Like, what was I thinking? Why did I say that? And when it comes to sinning with our lips, and I just want to dwell on that tonight. Now, the context of this is Job, and the context of this is Job going through so much, and there's a lot of sovereignty, there's a lot of, you know, what's going, God's wanting us to learn a message that we can trust Him despite what's going on. But in this, Job did not sin with his lips. I want to give you three thoughts, and then I want to give you how to not sin with your lips. Number one, it is possible to sin with your lips. Tonight, it is important, when we say lips, we can say tongue. We know James chapter 3 tells us about the tongue. How many of y'all remember James chapter 3? The Bible says in James 3, it's a world of iniquity. It is, I mean, your tongue is, it has the fires of hell in it. And your tongue is a dangerous thing. You can sin with your lips. We know tonight it is possible to sin with your lips. It is possible to say things, and that's what this is talking about, to curse God, to curse a person, to say something to somebody, to use your mouth. Now, some folks say, well, it's just words. It don't really matter. But it does matter according to God's Word. Now, and I know some people say things and, you know, they get kind of wound up and they wish they hadn't have said them. And I understand that. And words are words and sometimes they fall. But man, y'all heard that old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie. Sticks and stones will break your bones and words will stay with you forever. And we have to be careful. So it is possible to sin with your lips. Now, some folks act like it's not, but it is because we see it here in God's Word, especially when it comes to speaking against God. Now, we live in a world tonight, church. We live in a culture that really thinks it's okay to speak out against God. We live in a day where there's the fear of God, the fear of Almighty God. I mean, if y'all listen to the atheists, they will get up in a crowd and say stuff against God. And I guess my old country redneck preacher, you know, just, I don't know. I'm sitting there thinking, honey, the lightning's going to strike them dead right now. I mean, you might not believe in God, but man, you're letting the whole world know God. You just having target practice or something. It's crazy what people are saying. And so they sin against God with their lips all the time. And we're seeing it even change and transform in our society. We're seeing it on social media platforms. For example, some of the most popular TikToks tonight are people who are defaming the things of God. They are actually, a couple of them are pastors' sons who have went out into wickedness and sin. And people are listening to them and believing them. And they are sinning with their lips. We have to all be careful about that. We have to watch what we say. Now, some of you don't have as big a problem. You're kind of quieter. You don't say as much. But boy, it is hard to not sin with your lips. So we know it's possible. In fact, we know it's pretty common. It's pretty prevalent, isn't it? People say things all the time. We say things. And by the way, even you don't even have to be outgoing much, but you can say something and be rude or crude or whatever it may be. You really have to watch that. Now, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the what? The mouth speaketh. The only way you can get that mouth cleared up, and again, this is not necessarily talking about using foul language as much. That could be part of it. It is talking about sinning. I believe it's talking about blaspheming God. Right here, it's just say, God, why did you let this happen to me? You are not a good God. God, you don't love me. God, you're not good. You are not a good God. That, I believe, is the context of what's being said right here. And sadly tonight, that's pretty common. If you notice how people will give the devil a pass. In fact, in this passage, I've even heard Christians act like, well, why is God allowing this happen? But they never go and look, well, why did Satan come and say, skin for skin? Well, you can't even hardly read that. You have to sound like a snake. And I don't like a snake. Somebody say amen right there. I mean, I see them things. I said, them things are just satanic. Somebody, what was it? Ireland don't have any snakes. I said, let's just move to Ireland then. I don't like a snake at all. And when I see that, I can just see the slivering, slew-foot devil saying that, hey, and saying, hey, skin for skin. But it's pretty common for people to sin with their lips. But let me say this. I'm going to give you just a few things. We'll go home tonight. It is preventable. Wouldn't you like tonight? I would love to go back in my life. I would love to look at my sweetheart tonight and say, honey, I wish I'd have never said things that have hurt you in our marriage. We've been married 33 years, and she has to have the patience of Job to put up with me sometimes. And I'd love to say that I've never said anything to my children. I'd love to say maybe I hadn't said something to you. In fact, I'm always leery of that. Even as a preacher, I pray often. You've heard me say, Lord, I don't want to say anything cruel or unkind. That's not my intent. Now, if the gospel's an offense or the Bible's an offense, that's different. But I don't want to be offensive with my language or my lips or my tongue. I mentioned this morning, the other day, I caught myself being a little grumpy. I know y'all never get grumpy. And boy, my tongue, I thought, man, I hope nobody crosses my path. I'm like a little rattlesnake here. I'm ready to strike. In fact, one guy I'm around, he always talks about things he shouldn't, and I was ready for him the other day. I said, he comes at me today, I'm just going to snap. Now, y'all never do that, right? But I caught myself. Now, how do we prevent that? How do you not say something? How do you not sin with your lips? Let me give you some things. We'll go home tonight. There's six of these. Some of these are just a little duh. How about this? The Bible, by the way, there's a lot of verses. I won't get into all the verses tonight for sake of time. Number one, be quiet. That's real deep, isn't it? Be quiet. Now, the Bible talks about this. In fact, go to the book of Proverbs and you'll see the froward mouth. The fool. The fool and his mouth kind of go hand in hand. Or tongue and jaw, we could say. The froward mouth. And so sometimes just simply saying, you know what? Whatever happens, I'm just going to study to be quiet. I'm just going to think about how I'm just not going to say anything. Now that doesn't mean to compromise or not take a stand. I think sometimes we say, well, I got to speak out and take a stand for truth. That's true. But sometimes, and by the way, if you are one that has to maybe get the last word in, this can be one of the hardest things in the world to do, is just to go and remain quiet. One of the hardest things in this world is to do nothing. Sometimes nothing is what's required. In fact, think about Jesus. The Bible says in Isaiah, as a lamb before shears dumb, he opened not his mouth. I remember as a young boy hearing that and reading that thinking, what? Because to me, if somebody's doing you wrong, we're going to set it right. We're going to just, wait a minute, I'm going to speak up. I ain't letting this happen. And the Bible says that Christ opened not his mouth. Now, could he have? Absolutely. Would he have been right? Absolutely. So number one, just a practical thing tonight, and by the way, I'm not preaching at you and not preaching at me. I'm not saying for you to do it and not me to do it. And I'm not saying that I've arrived and you haven't. Oh no, I'm preaching at Brother Dallas tonight as well. Be quiet. Number two, and this goes hand in hand, trust God. Now the one thing that Job did here, one of the things I think we see in the book of Job, that's what I get out of the book of Job, and I have since I was young, is that Job trusted God. When I talk to people about Job, I've heard people actually say this, well, I'm not Job. As if to say, well, Job has some supernatural ability to trust God. I believe Job is in the Bible. It's beautiful, by the way. It is considered some of the most brilliant poets and writers in history thought the book of Job was just a magnificent book. Just on its literary merits alone. I've been reading about that. Some of the statements are very impressive that people make. But I believe the book of Job is here, not just to be a literary achievement, but the book of Job is here, and it's very simply this, so that you and I can learn to trust God. To rely upon God. And when you are trusting God, sometimes, you know, I've had some situations in my life where I've had people say, you need to say something. And I've wanted to say something. And I said, Lord, I'm going to trust you on this. I'm going to trust you that you're going to take care of this. I don't think I should say. Now, sometimes we need to speak up. There are times. But there are times when we need to just trust God. To let God fight our battles. That God knows the truth. In fact, we're going to see this as Job's friends start to pile on and start to point the finger and start to look and really make a lot of, and you're going to see that Job didn't always do the right thing either. He's not perfect. And a lot of times we will not trust God. And I've caught myself whenever I start running my mouth or going too far. When I say running my mouth, I'm talking about even in my prayers or my attitude toward God. I'm wrong. So number one, be quiet. Number two, trust God. Number three, real quickly tonight. Focus correctly. One of the things about trials and struggles is they tend to get our focus off. Have you ever tried to take a picture? Some of y'all take pictures with your cameras. You ever try to take a picture of somebody hitting you? You ever be able, on a church bus, try to take a picture of something? I mean, it's all over the place. Well, I really think tonight when you're going through troubles and trials. Now, we focus on God when everything's going good. I always want to ask, what if things are not going good? Do you still love God? Is God still good? Is He still on the throne? Is He still God? Job says here, he said in verse 10, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God and shall not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. You see, God is still good tonight. Either way, and I've watched some of the posts that, for example, like, and I don't think you'd mind me using, Brother Dale and Sister Vance have shared on their Facebook and things. And you know what they're doing? They're praising God. Now, that doesn't mean that they like what they're going through. That doesn't mean it's a good thing. And we are praying for God to heal. Amen. But I'll be honest with you, as a pastor, as a Christian, I was like, man, bless their hearts, man. It ministered to me. It made me think, man, Lord, am I walking with you to where I could say that, to praise you even when things are not going good? Because here's the thing, church, tonight, whatever happens in our life, here's what we tend to say. Okay, here's what we tend to say in America. If we're being blessed, then God's blessing and God loves you and you're doing good. If you don't have blessings, then what is a blessing? Just finances? Is it stuff? If we don't have that, then God's not blessing and you're not doing good. The truth of the matter is, though, and I mentioned this last week, I'll mention it again, was John the Baptist blessed? Absolutely. He was mentioned by Christ. He's the forerunner. I mean, he's a hero. But what happened to John the Baptist? Was he voted in the biggest Baptist church in the world? Did they make a statue for him? Did they put a plaque up on the wall? John the Baptist preached here. Now, I would have. But what did they do to John the Baptist? This great, mighty man of God. Cut his head off. You see, sometimes I'm susceptible to this. I'm like, well, Lord, I'm trying to do the right thing. Why does this happen when I'm trying to do the right thing? And by the way, now he's not the only preacher. There's been many preachers that lost their families to disaster, that lost their lives at a young age. As David Brainerd, that they said he'd walk through and pray, and he would cough and blood would come out. He died at a very young age, and they printed his diary, and God started using that and working in a mighty way and just spurned the missionary movement and these stories of these missionaries and what they went through and just horrible things that took place. Well, how was God in that? God was in that and blessing all along. If I preach tonight the truth and three people show up and this church ceases to exist, let's say, but the truth was preached, was God honored? See, we look tonight and we say, man, they've got thousands in their building. But is God honored? By the way, in buildings all across America today, right now as we speak, there's stadiums full of thousands. And don't get me wrong, I love that stuff, but is God honored? See, we think of things and stuff and numbers as God's honoring. And what happens is we get our focus off. And when our focus gets off, we start to think about what we think instead of what God wants. What is God's desire? What is God's will for my life? So number one, be quiet. Number two, trust God. Number three, focus correctly. Number four, here's one, and I think Job does this, and I sure need to learn this. And that is prepare beforehand. Some of y'all are getting ready for winter. Maybe you're getting stuff ready at your house. Or if a storm's getting ready to come, you ever seen them on the coast? They'll put plywood on the windows. They'll head inland and stay with in-laws. You know, they will make preparations for the coming storm. Hello? Right? Some people, you know, they will, I know when I grew up, it's coming back in style now. Some of y'all remember that are a little bit older. We canned food in the summer. I remember that so clearly. And we'd make all kinds of tomato juice and man, we pickled everything. If you never had a pickled pepper sandwich, you haven't ever had a good sandwich. I take pickled peppers and put mayonnaise on it and go to town in the winter. But we were making preparation, and our ancestors did that a lot, by the way. You couldn't just go down here to the Dollar General and stock up. And they got ready. Now, you see what I mean, brother? Now, let's think about this. You're going through troubles and trials and struggles. Before you get to the storm, you need to be talking to the one that's on the boat with you. Amen? You see, Job was already eschewing evil. He was already living for God. He was already doing that. The reason he could not sin with his lips, he'd already been trusting God in the good times. And I think Job realized that every barn he had full, and every camel that was grazing, and every, whatever camels do, I guess they graze, and every blessing that he had, every time he watched those children, he realized that they were a gift from God. And I think if you don't do that, if you don't prepare for the storm that's going to come, mentally and emotionally and spiritually, because it's going to come. We were talking about this. The doctor said to our family here with my dad, they said this statement, Mr. Payton, it's a matter of time. And I thought about that statement a lot the last few days. That's really a statement that's true for everybody that's ever lived. Now, the time can be short, we know, or the time can be longer. But it's appointed unto man, what's it say? Once to die, and after this, the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. So, in a manner of speaking tonight, it's an appointment we're all going to keep unless the rapture takes place, even so come Lord Jesus. And so, it is a matter of time. And so, we need to be prepared before. And by the way, if you've ever seen somebody that's not prepared before that time comes, I know Miss B shared with me this morning about her brother talking about the Lord. You know, my dad and our family yesterday, we was talking about the Lord. And I love, when Brother Marvin Mills, the pastor at Maranatha, as he was going on to be with the Lord, he was praising God. I remember going to visit Brother Frank Pittman in the hospital talking about the Lord. There's a video of him and his children singing about the Lord, getting ready to go on and meet the Lord, being prepared for that day. And so when the trials come, being prepared. Here's another one, another reason, another thing. This is harder for some than others. I wrote this down. I hope the Lord gave it to me. I think it's just practical. Try not to get emotional. We were talking the other Wednesday night, Brother Levi in Houston, Miss Emily, Brother Freddie. We were talking about crying. Emily picked up and she said, Brother Alice, you've cried four times the last 10 minutes. I'm a crier. I've learned that. Some of y'all don't cry. But I tend to get a little emotional. My family's emotional. I mean, it's loud, we're emotional, my parents were emotional. I'm just emotional. I don't know what it is. Now, some people are not emotional. But if you are naturally emotional, things can really get to you very quickly. That's just who you are. And so when things go bad, you can get, I call it the Chicken Little syndrome. I know y'all never do that. But I'm like, oh Lord, what's going to happen today? Oh, this is horrible. What are we going to do? And we get emotional. And one of the things that will help us to not sin with our lips. Have you ever noticed this? Have you ever said something like, I was just upset, just forgive me, I didn't even mean what I said. I didn't mean that. I said it, I did say it, but I didn't mean it. I know, if I went around this room, I know some of you have said things, you said, man, I didn't mean that. I did not mean that. And so try your very best not to get emotional. If it's an emotional situation, stay away from it. Sometimes you can't. And then the last thing, we'll go home. And this should have been the first thing, and it should be everything. And that is this, talk to God.
Talk to God. Lord, I'm going to talk to you. I don't know what's going on. I'm going to talk to you. I was with Miss Harvey when Pastor Harvey passed away. I was with them quite a bit. I probably heard the last words other than his wife that Brother Harvey ever spoke on this earth. And I prayed with Miss Harvey all along and her children all the way through until the Lord took Pastor Harvey on home. And one thing that I learned by watching them is that she genuinely talked to God. She really did talk to God. And I've been convicted ever since then. Like, Lord, I don't know if I've ever heard anybody really try to just get a hold of God and say, God, I need you. Lord, I need, my children need you. We need you. My husband needs you. Let me say this to you tonight. Talking to God will keep you from sinning with your lips. Whatever that may be, it may not be something this drastic. It may not be something this serious. It may not be that you're going through this trouble. But to keep from sinning with your lips is let those lips talk to God. If somebody does you wrong, they tattle on you, they tell on you, tell God about it. By the way, it'll help your marriage, it'll help your home, it'll help your church, it'll help your Sunday school class, it'll help your business, it'll help your friendships. Because there's some people that, hey, the only thing you can do is say, God, you're going to have to get it because I can't take it. So talk to God. Real quickly, look, this is it. Be quiet, trust God, focus correctly, prepare before, try not to get emotional, and talk to God. Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. I pray for our people that you draw us close to you. Lord, help us. Maybe somebody here tonight, they'd be honest about it. They need help.